enchanté.
Hey, Whitey Tighties. Welcome back to the Two Tight Ends podcast. My name's Neil. I'm your co-host. And with me, I have a man who's never jumped in a pile of leaves before. It's Connor.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. I hate fall and happiness. So,
yeah.
Welcome to my life.
Kind of a Scrooge.
Yeah, if you will. But only for like pumpkin spice and basic white bitches. So it's fine.
It's okay. That's normal to hate, though. That's okay. You're allowed to do that. But Connor, listen, this last week we had NBA free agency, we had NBA draft, so let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
So yeah, like I said, the draft happened on Wednesday. It was kind of interesting because I feel like a lot of people going into it were thinking, oh, a lot of trades are going to happen in the lottery, you know, people trading up, people are trading down, are the Warriors going to trade a bit, you know, all that stuff. Not a lot of trades happen. I don't think any trades happened in the lottery, if I'm not mistaken.
None happened. It didn't happen until the 16th pick is what I'm looking at. Yeah. Here is when and so trades kind of started
after
happening.
The lottery is when it's kind of flipped. After the lottery is when everything kind of started going down.
Exactly.
I just wanted to do a little recap and you can bring in more people, but I wanted to just review the top three picks. What you think about that, Connor?
Yeah.
So number one, Anthony Edwards. What did you think of that pick, Connor?
Not a big surprise there, honestly. Mm-hmm. And especially because Anthony is a two guy, right? He's a shooting guard. Yeah, that's what I thought. So they've already got a point guard in deloading. And then you're adding a guy like Anthony Edwards, where top tier talent, you know, he was projected kind of a top three, most likely number one pick coming in. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Cat at the center. Like you got a lot of talent on that team already. Mm-hmm. And so then you bring a guy like Anthony Edwards also to kind of fill the void that was Andrew Wiggins. So, I don't know. I mean, I think I like the pick a lot.
I like it a lot too. It's interesting because I think a lot of people, most people thought LaMelo was the number one overall guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of debate, but a lot of people think LaMelo was. And obviously the other two top three people, and him and Wiseman. LaMelo and Wiseman obviously don't fit. Like you were saying, Anthony Edwards fits into the Timberwolves a little better than those two.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I think that's why they picked him. But I mean, usually with the number one pick, you kind of just, a lot of people's thought process is just to do the best talent, right? Figure it out later, but they obviously didn't do that. I think part of the reason is they were trying to trade it. Some people were saying this draft isn't that deep, so nobody really wanted to trade out of it or trade up, like give up too much for the number one if they weren't sold on maybe one of those number ones. So now here's the thing. Have you heard the rumors going around about Anthony Edwards and stuff?
Not even a little bit.
So there's been, again, rumors. There's just internet. Who knows if they're true or not? This is Reddit, so take it with a huge grain of salt. But apparently he's a weird dude. One example that Reddit thread brought up was that he doesn't know how a hibachi grill works, and he would bring in his own food to grill on the hibachi grill and stuff. And then he will just like interrupt people and just like people, like they had to like, I think, ban him from that grill or something. Like that's what, again, this report allegedly says. And then he also, his kind of work ethic, not work ethic, like drive, I guess, has been coming into question. He's said it. There's a quote from him that says basketball is not even his like favorite sport or number one sport or whatever. He did play football a lot. I mean, that could have been taken out of context. Who knows? But as long as he's drive, like I think he has the skill set to do it. He has a skill set to become great. If he's got the drive, man, it's his. You know, it's his to take.
Yeah, so. No, I agree. And honestly, the hibachi thing. Okay, at first when we were like, he doesn't know how it works. I was like, does anyone really like? It gets hot. Like, I thought you were like how it like functions.
No.
But hearing now like what he did, it sounds more like he was trolling. Like it just sounds like he's like a giant troll.
He did that a lot. Like maybe it's a troll, but yeah, I think there's more examples. I forget what they are, but apparently he's just, the report say that he's just a weird dude. But yeah, so number one, the Golden State Warriors took Wiseman. I really, really thought they were going to trade that pick. I think Wiseman fits them very well, actually. Mm-hmm. But I thought they were going to trade him to try to get a more ready, more established, more proven player.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too. Just because, like, you know, like when you've got the Warriors coming in at the second pick in the first round, just because their like entire team was injured, it seems a little unfair. And so it's kind of like, yeah, they're probably going to trade this so that they can get some value out of it. But like you said, like a lot of people felt like there wasn't a lot of depth. A lot of people really weren't willing to trade probably what they were asking for the number two pick.
Right.
But I really like this pick too, because as a Warriors fan, it was a great fit, where I feel like that's been one of the weakest positions they've had in recent years is the center, where when your center
no diss to Looney, right?
What's that?
Not trying to diss Looney, right?
Yeah, not trying to diss Looney. And I mean, they did have DeMarcus Cousins for a hot second, but that didn't really pan out too, amazing. Yeah, like he can never really stay healthy. And then they had, oh my gosh, why am I going to, I'm going to blank out his name right now, the Australian dude.
Bogut,
thank you. I was like Boban, but I was like, obviously that's not right. Yeah, and they had Bogut, but I was like, where your starting star center is Bogut? It's like, I mean, he was all right, but I like this because yeah, I always thought that's a little bit like one of the more weak positions. And now we also, I know we're gonna get into a little bit more, but now we also have the trade for Kelly Oubre, or the signing, or no, it was a trade, right?
They signed him.
No, they traded. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Okay, yeah. So then they traded for Kelly Oubre. So like their starting five right now is actually looking incredible, because we found out about the Klay Thompson injury with the
Achilles heel, and which, go ahead, bring it up, because we haven't.
That was so sad, especially because like it was just from a workout, which is the roughest thing. Like where it's not even like in the season. It's so rough.
Klay Thompson tore his Achilles. And it's actually
is it confirmed that it was torn or that it's just like injured?
I believe it's torn.
Partially.
I believe it's torn,
like completely torn. Okay.
And I believe it's the opposite leg of what he was just recovering from.
He
healed his left leg, and now he injured his right leg, which really sucks. And those are the two of the injuries that usually take the longest to heal.
Yeah.
The hardest to come back to, allegedly. Like,
it's got another Derrick Rose situation, though. Tears one ACL and then goes and tears the other one.
Ooh, yeah. That sucks. So, man, I feel for him. But, yeah, go ahead with what you're saying about the whole Warriors in general.
Well, I was just going to say, now their potential starting five is looking really scary, because they've got, obviously, Steph at point. Kelly Oubre, who's a great young talent, your boy, as always.
I love Kelly
Oubre. And he's at the number two spot. Then we got Andrew Wiggins at the number three spot, Draymond Green, power forward, and then now Wiseman at the number five, starting most likely. And I mean, I think their lineup's looking pretty good. I don't know about their depth right now, but their starting lineup's looking really good right now.
Yeah, dude. That Klay injury is devastating on a lot of reasons, but I think the team, because I think I saw you sent me, does this team make the playoffs this year or something like that, right? It's going to be hard for them. I love the Wiseman pickup. I think he's going to be really good for them, because he's got a nice touch. He's pretty good range, and if he can even extend it, obviously that'd be great for them. But, man, without Klay Thompson, like if you had like either Oubre or – I would probably put Wiggins, honestly, on the bench coming off for you. Like you were saying, the bench depth is kind of questionable. And with Klay starting, like, I love that lineup. I still like it. Like, I'm such a huge fan of Kelly Oubre. I think he's such a good player. I love his energy. So I love the pickup for them. I think he's going to work really well for them. So it's going to be interesting to see. And hopefully Steph, maybe he returns to MVP form, so he just goes off.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, to be fair, the only reason he was out was because of a fracture in his hand from a dude landing on him. So, like, I feel like he'll be okay. Like, I don't think it was too bad of an injury, but enough to where they went, okay, obviously we need to protect him. Like,
well, yeah, and I think they're like, well, this season's over. Let's not rush him.
Exactly. And then when COVID hits, it was like, all right, well, now it's officially like, we'll just kind of ride this out.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think it was a good pickup. A little surprised they went with the younger guy. We'll see if he can contribute as well as he can early on. Number three pick, LaMelo Ball to the Charlotte Hornets. What do you think about that as sort of a Hornets fan, right, Connor?
I do claim the Hornets. I like the Hornets a lot. I was always a big fan of Kemba Walker, and I don't know, with LaMelo in there, I'm here for it. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's a cool pickup. Obviously it's going to sell a lot of tickets. I think it already has. I think what I saw is like they sold more tickets or like season tickets in recent years than it's been a while basically having, you know, a name like Ball coming through. So
yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize how good he really is, me included. Because I actually recently watched it's a YouTube channel called B-Ball Breakdown. It's this Coach Nick, his name is, and you know,
I think I watched those videos too.
Yeah. Yeah. He does a lot of, analytical stuff, you know, does a lot of draft stuff. But yeah, I watched his video on like, will LaMelo Ball do well in the NBA? And, you know, I've seen the highlights of LaMelo. He's got great highlights, obviously. Everybody's seen those. But he like really went in depth to look at, you know, will his skills translate? And it shed more light on LaMelo's skill set than I even realized he had, I guess. And so I was like, okay, like he actually might be the real deal here. Like I thought it was kind of a little overhyped, but maybe he's properly hyped.
No, you know, here's the biggest problem. And you know what? I kind of wanted to get into this a little bit too, is like a couple things. One, who's going to have the better NBA or like overall career? Will it be LaMelo, Lonzo, or Jello if he ever gets in, whatever? But like, I don't think he will at this point. But like, who's going to have the better overall career? I want to talk about that. And also, like, what kind of happened to this whole like Ball family / big baller brand? Like, what happened there? Like, they were so, like always in the news, like just a few years ago. But here's my thing: is talking about that, I feel like that's where people have kind of overlooked Melo in a way, where like his talent, his skill set really is there. Like, we've seen the highlights, but like, I also saw some stuff where people are talking about like, this kid is the real deal. Like, he was very successful playing overseas. And the problem is he's overshadowed by the drama and the like just the garbage that came from his brother getting drafted and his dad and all this stuff, where like people kind of consider them a joke.
Right.
And especially where his brother went number two and then just kind of like flopped. Like,
okay. Well, maybe for a number two. I wouldn't say flopped, but he's definitely not a number two value.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, he's not a number two value. He flopped in that sense. Like, I'm not saying he's not a decent player. Like, not saying he can't play in the NBA. Obviously, he can. But he was not a number two pick. And I think that all the hype and the marketing kind of surrounding him is what got him that number two pick.
Right. And, yeah, I agree. And, like I said, that video really shed some light on it. Like, his dribbling, his passing, his IQ is a lot better than I thought. All that stuff is a lot better than I thought. That, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I was buying into the overhypedness and stuff. And so, but I mean, it's already working for Charlotte, like you said. Like, they're already selling tickets. That's the main point. Yep. But if he can actually produce for them with those guards that they already have and Devontae Graham and stuff, just signed Gordon Hayward. Hopefully he can help out. I like it. I'm excited to see how he does. I'm kind of rooting for him. Cause yeah, like he does have highlights. He can't make those highlights. Like, he's nice.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm rooting for him too. Like, this, it sounds weird, but like when Lonzo is going into the draft, or like when he got drafted, I was kind of rooting against him. Hate to say that, but I definitely was, cause I hate his dad so much. But with Melo just being like the youngest, and then like it just seemed like, I don't know, like felt like he didn't care about all the attention, he didn't care about, like, he just wanted to play basketball. And so I don't know, for me it just seemed like he just wanted to kind of like throw all that like drama and everything in the past and just like be himself. And so because of that, I'm rooting for him here. I really hope he does well.
Well, this kind of leads into, you know, sort of the discussion you wanted and a question I had. But let's just get into it. Who do you think will have a better career, Connor, LaMelo or Lonzo?
At this point, I think LaMelo. At this point,
he's definitely got more potential.
He's got way more potential. Like, that's, and that is kind of unfair to Lonzo in a way, just because, you know, we've seen what he can do, and he's gotten better since he came into the league, but like, again,
and he's not still really what, probably 21, 22, right? Like, he's still room to grow, plenty of room to grow.
Yeah, I think he might be a little older than that, because I don't remember what age he was when he got drafted. Okay. How many years did he play in college?
Jeez, dude, I don't even remember.
He played, like, he played at least a couple.
He played one,
didn't he? He only played one? He was a one and done? I thought he at least played a couple.
No, I think he played one.
Oh, okay. If he was a one and done, then yeah, he's probably like 22, 23.
23.
At the
23.
Okay, yeah, at the oldest, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. At this point in time, I think I'm calling Melo for better overall career.
I think,
and like you said, just the potential factor there. I think he has a lot of potential, and I guess we'll see what he does. I don't, you know, obviously, I don't want to look at like his first year and judge it solely based off that. I think I'd like to look at like the same spread, essentially give him like a few years,
right?
See how he progresses, and yeah, go from there.
Yeah, and he's gonna. I mean, I hope. If he does well and then he builds up, you know, the smaller market team, hopefully he stays with that team and stuff. Like, hopefully everything goes well for both sides. But I agree. I think LaMelo will has more potential. But I actually, watching the NBA draft, I was watching the reaction of when LaMelo got drafted. Like, they showed his reaction, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm going to wildly speculate right here, Connor. Just based off this one reaction that he had, to me, I feel like LaMelo Ball, I wonder, is he still having fun playing basketball? Because the reaction he had, you see the two people before him, you see the people after him, they're crying, you know, they're like, they're hugging their mom and all this stuff. You saw LaMelo Ball get drafted, he goes, you know, maybe high fives or kisses mom or whatever. But he like, it was expected, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, okay, yep, on to the next step. Like, it just didn't seem like, just based off this one little reaction, I don't know. And plus, like, he's been playing overseas. He's been playing professional. He played Drew League. Like, you know, they skipped, I think, what, his senior year of high school. They didn't go to college. They've been playing nonstop, I feel like.
They didn't skip more than that. So I was about to say, like, to be fair to that reaction from Melo is – he's been playing professionally for like 3 years now, because they pulled him out when he was like 15 or 16.
And that's what I'm saying, though.
And like, started having him play overseas.
That's what I'm saying. Is he like, I don't know, not even burned out, maybe burned out, but like, are they pushing him too hard? Maybe it's just a weird situation, because they, like you said, they've been playing. He's been traveling a lot over Europe, overseas. It just seemed weird to me. That he was just like, it was a weird reaction. And I'm like, is he even having fun playing anymore? I hope so.
No, and that's totally fair. I mean, I think from what you're saying, like that reaction, it could be, but.
Also, sorry, can I say this real quick?
Go for it.
This is based off one reaction that in a situation that I will never be in. So I.
What?
I really, should I be even judging this? No, but I am, so.
Well, I was just gonna put out there is like, you know, again, he's in such a different mindset though than these other kids getting drafted, where these other kids are like, you know, they played in high school, they have people telling them you're going to the league, they go to college, they still have people telling them like, oh yeah, you're going to the league, like you can make it, and like, you know, they've been playing basketball for free for, you know, getting paid in an education, whatever, NCAA. Anyway, they've been playing basketball for free for so many years, and then to get drafted that high, I think that's part of it. But where you have a kid who's been playing professionally, this is like another business deal for him.
Like, and that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, is it just business? And I feel like, is it even fun? Because I feel like you're not going to want to play for a long time if it's just for business.
Okay, that's fair. But what I'm saying is like, the draft was a business day. It was like a business meeting for him where like playing basketball, though, that doesn't necessarily translate to the court, where like he's probably still having fun playing basketball. But like draft day was kind of like, it's just another business meeting, essentially.
Okay. That's an interesting take. Again, I based it off one reaction. Like,
I agree with you. It is interesting, though. Yeah. I just feel like his mindset for a guy his age is so different. Cause like, like you said, where you were saying he's been traveling all over Europe. I mean, he's experienced a lot of culture too, where these other kids probably haven't left their, you know, home state, some of them.
Right.
So,
right.
that's all I mean is like he's definitely a lot more cultured than some of these people at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's where I mean, like, that reaction, like you said, you're wildly speaking out of one reaction. But I'm just trying to get into like his mindset. Mm-hmm. And again, you could be totally like spot on. He could be not having any fun anymore. Like he's like, my dad's pushing me to do this. I don't even want to do this. I don't even like the Hornets. Yeah. I don't even like Michael Jordan. Like, I don't want to go there.
Right. Right. Who knows? But well, again, I hope for the best for him. I hope for the best for all these draftees, you know, good luck with that. Did you have any other thoughts about the draft off the top of your head, Connor?
I only had one about the number 4 pick by the Bulls. Mm-hmm. And this just came from, I think it was just some stupid video I found somewhere, but it was a guy who was like, like a meme basically, but it was like Chicago fans right now, and he was like, Patrick Williams, who the fuck is Patrick Williams? Like, like just pure Chicago accent, and was just like, who even is that? Like, who? Why do we have him?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of those kids in this draft this year. Like,
oh, totally. Yeah, we didn't have a full college season to like get to know their names and to like see them and kind of like have all the different. I mean, the only other person I really knew for the most part, in other than like outside the top three, was Cole Anthony. But that's because I'm a UNC fan. Like, that was it. I was like, oh, yeah. I saw Cole Anthony with the Magic. That's cool. That was it.
That's an interesting pickup too. One thing I did want to actually, I forgot to mention about Wiseman is he, we did have some of a season for college basketball last year.
Yeah,
and in that season, Wiseman had only played 3 games because he had eligibility problems. So he only played 3 college basketball games. So that's
interesting.
That's a little, yeah. So
that is interesting for a guy who just got picked up by the Warriors.
Number two.
Yeah.
But they like
it. That is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move right along to the crazy free agencies period that's happening. I'm just going to start running through some of these. If I feel like I want to expand on it, I will. Connor, interrupt me if you want to expand on it a little bit. First,
let's do it.
Dude, so James Harden, the rumors are out there. Harden and Westbrook, do they not want to be in the Rockets anymore? Like, that's the reports coming out. It sounds like Harden's trying to get a trade. Right now, I think the top suitors are the 76ers and the Nets. Woj, shout out Woj, he reported that Harden actually turned down an extension to making the first $50 million a year player ever.
Wow.
And he, again, the reports said, I think they said that he wants to go to the Nets. But I mean, that's a hard trade to pull off. Technically, the Rockets don't need to just give him to the Nets. So, like, they could just wait and see, trade him somewhere else, I guess, if they wanted. But yeah, real quick, who do you think would be a better fit for him, especially after some of the moves 76ers have done? Like, let's just bring it up real quick. 76ers signed Dwight Howard. They traded away Jason Richardson and Al Horford, brought in Seth Green and Danny Green. So they've made some moves trying to get more spacing, more shooting and stuff. So yeah, who do you think the would be the better fit for Harden?
This is tough, and I'll explain kind of like my thought process. So I like the Nets because the Nets have been making a lot of moves too. I love the moves that they've been making, like with their coaching staff and with some of the different players. But like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine? Like, we talk about these death lineups, like they're like you know, we're thinking like fantasy, but we're not thinking like chemistry and actual like playing. But if you had Kyrie, Harden, Durant, Spencer Dinwiddie, like you have like,
well, all that's these the thing. If they players. To even make the money work, the Nets would have to give up Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, probably DeAndre Jordan. Like, they'd have to give up. Like,
no, it's true. They'd have to give up a lot of people, but like, and picks, I'm sure. So, but even still, imagining like Kyrie, Harden, Durant, like just them three in a starting lineup is insane. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
But again, what will they lose out on by making that? And will Harden even fit in with those guys and fit into that system? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Like, the Nets are just kind of like an enigma. But the 76ers, the reason like I also like them is because they've got Daryl Morey. He's familiar with him. And I mean, it would be a different, obviously a different playing style and a different coach and things like that. But like, you know, he kind of would.
Doc Rivers now.
Yeah, and so it's Doc Rivers now. So, I mean, it would be interesting to see how they would work together. The thing I'm worried about with the Sixers is that they just picked up Dwight Howard, and they played together before.
Oh, on
the
Rockets, I didn't even think about that.
Did not go well.
I didn't even think about that.
So, yeah. That's what worries me about the 76ers, where is it a good fit? Possibly not.
But also, Dwight Howard, he's not supposed to be the number two guy anymore, so maybe his... If you points have changed, it's true. But mean, maybe they still have bad blood. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe his ego has calmed down a lot. And that's, I don't know. Maybe that's why he worked well on the Rockets, or not the Rockets. That's why he worked well on the Lakers this past season. But also part of me thinks, like, because, you know, you have Alpha Braun over on the team, like, everyone just kind of knows, like, oh, okay, that's who I listen to. And that's what it seemed like with Dwight. Yeah. Like, he would kind of listen, he would like listen to LeBron and like listen to Rondo and like, you know, they worked fine. Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Like, they worked fine together. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I worry about Howard now coming off a championship win to a new team and not having a bit of an ego.
Interesting. I think you bring up a good point with the Nets. I mean, those three players would be insane. And it's like, yeah, that's a good problem to have, right? To try to figure out how they work together. It's a good problem to have. But I think the easier fit, more fluid fit would be the 76ers, because they would probably have to trade Ben Simmons.
Right.
And so it's like Harden and Embiid. You still got some shooters, like I just said, around him. I think that's the easier fit. But obviously the biggest potential would be the Nets one. If they could somehow figure out the trade, somehow figure out the chemistry, that would be insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's just... The Nets would just be an automatic bucket, basically, if Harden is there. You got a scorer like Kyrie who can drive and make anything for whatever reason, and then Durant, who's just one of the most pure scorers of all time. Like, dude,
I wonder. Insane. Let's just say hypothetically, Harden gets traded to the Nets, right? If that happens, does everybody buy into the system? Do they? Because there's going to be a lot of ISO, but you have to have some kind of offense, right?
Like, right.
They're not going to play the Rockets ball from last year and each of them take turns, right? They're not going to play that. They're going to try to implement a system. No. Does everybody buy in, and does everybody buy into the defense? Like, I think Durant going to the Warriors, like, he saw, if you buy into the system, you know, you do your part, like, you could still be the guy, but you got to buy into the system too.
Yeah, I mean, you can be a two-time Finals MVP if you buy into the system. So
exactly. So I mean, does he tell them? Does that translate? I mean, Kyrie's seen it before. I don't know if he buys in, but that's what I mean. That, man, it's so much what if with that team, you know? If that would
happen. I think that would be really cool to see, because you're right. Like, the conflict I could see is maybe between like Kyrie and Harden, where. Mm-hmm. You know, Kyrie is kind of the man to like run the floor. Like, that's supposed to be his job, where Harden's got to come in. And I feel like Harden's got to play a little more support than he's been used to in recent years.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. Like, you could see, if everybody put their egos aside, dude, and they all bought into the system, that would be such a scary team. Like, if you have Harden running the point and he's dying, like, and he focusing on like dishing it more, and like Kyrie's focusing on spotting up and cutting in stuff more, and just like, oh,
it's beautiful. Oh, yeah, if they can make it work, like, bro, you might have a better like big three than, like, we always, you know, everyone goes and refers to like the 96 Bulls. I think you have a better big three than like the 96 Bulls with
maybe
Jordan,
yeah. I mean,
and Pippen and Robin. Like, I mean,
maybe
I don't know, man. It would be I mean, no one's ever gonna be Jordan, obviously. We always talk about that, but like them three together, like, oh my gosh, it would just be
crazy. And they'd have to buy in on defense. Like, if none of them are playing defense, like, if they're slacking off.
At James Harden.
That'd be rough. But, okay, we spent a lot of time on that. Let's try to move a little quicker on some of these. The Chris Paul got traded to the Suns. I think we kind of mentioned something like that happened on the last episode. It's official. He got traded to the Suns. I like the pickup for the Suns. Like, I think I mentioned it before, the leadership there. Plus, they just signed Jay Crowder. They re-signed Javion Carter, which I feel like a lot of people don't know. He's a nice, like, defensively minded point guard that they had already. And I just like that team. I'm excited to see what Chris Paul can do on that.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I like getting Devin Booker some more, like, kind of like mentorship for him. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Moving right along, the Bucks made a couple trades, and they all either got canceled or redone, pretty much. So the Bucks traded for Drew Holiday, and they sent Eric Bledsoe and George Hill to the Pelicans, right, and some picks or whatever. And then they had to redo the deal because now the Thunder want to get involved with sending. So they're sending Steven Adams to the Pelicans. Eric Bledsoe is going to the Pelicans. Thunder are getting George Hill and Darius Miller. And there's being picks thrown back and forth all over that. I don't even know it all. I think the big takeaway from this is Drew Holiday on the Bucks. I love it. I mean, I think we were talking about Chris Paul on the Bucks last podcast, which I thought would be interesting. I think Drew Holiday is actually a little bit better. In the sense for a better fit for that team. He's younger. He's better defensively, maybe not better offensively, and that contract is not as much as the $40 million a year that Chris Paul was getting. So, I really like it. And Steven Adams is one of my favorite players in the league. I think going to the Pelicans. I like that too.
I think it'd be good for him. I think
the Thunder seem to be clearing house now, just using all their picks.
That's what I was going to say is, like, it sounds bad, but, like, it just seems like Adams has kind of been, like, done with OKC for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he still played hard and he's still, like, been loyal, but, like, I don't know. I like the idea of giving him kind of, like, a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And I think, listen, we mentioned it last episode, I think, Eric Bledsoe, he kind of didn't really perform very well for the Bucks in the playoffs, but he's still a solid player. And he kind of brings a little more leadership to the Pelicans. Actually, I have a little stat I want to bring up. Zion Williamson is actually now the longest tenured Pelican on the team. I mean, he's been on the Pelicans the longest because he got drafted. Anyways, yeah. So technically, he's the longest tenured Pelican on the team. So, yeah. Bringing in some leadership, Eric Bledsoe, Steven Adams. I like to pick up for Pelicans. We'll see how that goes. Again, love the Drew Holiday pickup. I don't think you mentioned anything. Did you want to expand on
that? No, I mean, I totally agree with you. I don't think there's anything to really cover.
Right on. Donovan Mitchell signs 5-year, I believe it's $195 million extension. Good for them. Good for the Jazz. Yeah, let's see where.
Yeah.
See what they can do. Melo is back with the Blazers. I like it. I think that helps their bench. He was big in the bubble for them. He hit some big shots. He hit some clutch shots.
I just like that for Melo too, because I feel like after, you know, left the Knicks, and just I feel like he was like a little lost for a little bit and didn't really like know his role, and then he kind of bought into the whole like I'm not the star player anymore, but I still have like, you know, some gas left in the tank, and ever since then, like, I feel like he's just kind of come to terms with it, and Blazers love him. He loves the Blazers. I love it for him. I'm just happy for him.
Yeah. It's cool. So Goran Dragic, he re-signs with the Heat after Jimmy Butler apparently teasing, you know, jokingly threatened him to that. He's like, hey, you better sign with us. He threatened physical violence. NBA, start investigating that. Speaking about NBA investigations, I actually want to go back to that Bucks trade. I mentioned that they had a trade canceled. So they actually were trading for Bogdanovich of the Kings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That got canceled because I guess Bogdanovich didn't want to go there because they were going to do a sign-in trade. And so Bogdanovich didn't want to go there. So they got canceled. But now the NBA is investigating it for some reason. There's something fishy going on there. It's pretty weird. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so just wanted to mention that real quick. Moving right along, Tristan Thompson to the Celtics, which I didn't even put it on here. I just remembered Enes Kanter got traded back to the Portland Trail Blazers. He was with them for a year. He really liked that team. So they lose a good center, and then they sign Tristan Thompson. I actually don't know the contract off the top of my head. As long as it's not astronomical, I actually like the pickup for them.
It wasn't super big, I don't think, if I remember right, too. Mm-hmm. But was Tristan Thompson even on a team last year? I forget.
Cavaliers.
Was he still in the Cavs?
Yeah.
He was still in the Cavs? Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I don't know why I had it in my head that Tristan Thompson just kind of like fell off the face of the earth for a little bit, and then like they just picked him up. But I like the pickup for the Celtics.
Yeah, I think it's good. Nice defensive player for them, which is what the defensive rebounding, what they need at the center position. So
it's true.
Serge Ibaka, this is an interesting one. He's going to reunite with Kawhi on the Clippers. And it's also interesting because they lost Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell is signing with the Lakers. Let's talk about the Clippers real quick, though. I'd like to pick up, if you're going to replace the reigning sixth man of the year, I mean, Serge Ibaka isn't the worst pickup. Yeah. He's a nice 3-and-D guy, so, yeah. But Montrezl Harrell on the Lakers.
No, I totally agree.
Oh, sorry, what are you saying?
I was just saying I totally agree. I like the pickup.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Harrell on the Lakers. I love that. I love that pickup. It's almost unfair. I hate it. You hate it.
I hate it because they don't need more depth. Stop giving them depth.
I know. I mean, technically they haven't signed AD yet, but everybody expects them to sign AD. So Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench. I mean, honestly, their bench last year was good at the top. Like, you know, Dwight Howard coming off the bench and Alex Caruso. Mm-hmm. But other than a few of those guys, their bench kind of fell off, I feel like. Like they had their 8 or 9 guys, which was enough. I mean, but dude, you just add Montrezl Harrell to that? Like
No, that's true. It does take your bench to like that next level. But
man.
It's funny that you bring up though that like they haven't technically like officially signed AD, but like it's pretty much like confirmed, like that they from the reports I saw, mm-hmm. it was like it's not for sure, but it's like most of the way there that like it's confirmed that they're gonna re-sign AD. I was like, and everyone thought that about Dwight Howard too. 5 hours before the report came out that he was going to the 76ers, mm-hmm. he was like, I'm here to stay, Laker Nation for life or whatever. And then goes to the 76ers.
Dude, yeah, that was a weird one. I wonder what happened because they must have he must have thought he was gonna sign. Like him and his agent talked it over. They're like, yeah, let's go ahead and sign with the Lakers. Obviously didn't officially sign. And then maybe the 76ers gave his agent a call, be like, yo, dude, no, we want you to come here. We'll give you an extra couple million. Cause they probably don't have the cap for it. So
yeah. Probably, man. That was weird. Mean, I believe it. It was very odd. Like that was my favorite. I think I sent that to you because I saw it that he had tweeted earlier that day. Excuse me. And it was like, I think I sent it to you at like 9 my time or something like that. And it tweeted it out like 4 that afternoon. I was like, this was literally 5 hours ago that he's like, I'm a Laker for life. And then goes to the 76ers.
Oh, such bad time. Yeah, that was bad. A little bit of a quiz for you, Connor, coming up. Okay. There are only 3 players in NBA history who have signed more than 1 contract worth $30 million or more per year. Do you know who they are? Two of them are pretty obvious.
Two of them are pretty obvious?
Yeah. So two of them are, one of them, the person who's obviously where I'm trying to get at, who's going to be surprising, is signed this year, this offseason.
Okay.
But the two, I'll just give you the two. It's LeBron James and Kevin Durant, right? Pretty obvious.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
The one, like I said, he signed this offseason.
Okay. Is it someone we haven't talked about yet?
We actually have mentioned him already.
Dang it. is it Fred VanVleet?
No. No, this is Dang his it. First million. This would have to be their second $30 million a year.
Oh, their second. That's right. Gordon Hayward?
Correct, sir.
Yes.
But yes, so he's the third player in NBA history to sign more than 1 contract worth $30 million a year. That's crazy, dude. That's crazy. It's only you're in a conversation with KD and LeBron, but it's only about money. I mean, that's still pretty good.
Big ouch.
Dude, I don't know. It seems like a lot of money to give a guy who was doing like a bench role for the Celtics. Like I feel like he's still kind of coming back and hope. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank, so maybe he could change.
Yeah.
He could do more. But man, what is that? 4 years, $120 million a year for like, it just seems like the worst option is somebody that they just got off the books is Nicholas Batum. Who they gave an actually very similar contract to in 2018, I want to say something like that, 2017. And he barely even played for them.
Yeah. Well, Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that bad, but that's, yeah. I mean, that's still like, they literally just stopped paying him this year. So that's still in their head and they pay this guy.
Yeah. The problem with Gordon Hayward is, like, I really like Gordon Hayward. I do too. I liked him for a while when he was on the Jazz, and I was happy for him when he went to the Celtics. I mean, like, I wish he would have stayed on the Jazz to see how it would have played out with, like, him and Donovan on the same team. I think that would have been really cool. But, like, I was happy for him when he went to the Celtics. I was like, good for him. He just had an all-star season. That's awesome. First, like, play of that next year is when he has the ankle injury, and that was, like, 3 years ago. And it's interesting because, like, so he streams on Twitch, actually. I follow him on Twitch. So whenever he's on, I'll try to tune in if I do see that he's on. And it's so funny because so many people still come in and ask him, like, how's the ankle doing? And he's like, it's fine. That was 3 years ago, bro. Like, he actually gets kind of annoyed with it.
Yeah.
But, like, that was one of the nastiest ankle injuries you can have on a court. And so, like, rough. Like, that's the thing is he doesn't look like the same all-star caliber player he was 4 years ago. So that is the rough thing. But at the same time, I agree with you. I think he has a lot left in the tank. Mm-hmm. And here where he's going to be one of, like, the star players on the team, I like that for him because I think he needs that role where, like, you know, you have Bryan Adams up there. No, that's not the right word. Brad Stevens.
Oh, Brad Stevens.
I think I said Bryan Adams for some reason, but I meant to say Brad Stevens. Anyway, so Brad Stevens up there where, you know, he is so good at piecing a team together, but, like, that doesn't mean everyone's always going to be happy with the role that they're given.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. I like this for Gordon. And
I like it. I just feel like he's a little overpaid at this point. Now, maybe he returns to form and then that contract all of a sudden becomes worth it, you know?
I agree with you, but I will just all I'll say is that I feel that Gordon is a much better investment with this kind of money than Batum.
Again, yes, so. I was just saying that was worst case scenario.
Yeah, no. I think it's going to
be more beneficial for them.
I do think it's interesting the amount of money and everything, but yeah. I like the move for Hayward though, and I know, you know, you were saying that he. Actually was very focused on going to Indiana at one point.
Apparently that's some reports coming out. Yeah.
And so, and I thought that was interesting because he went to school there. Cause I actually looked up, I was like, why would he be interested in Indiana? Which I mean, granted, maybe he has a connection with someone there that I don't know. Maybe he likes what they're doing there, whatever, like you said. But then I looked up where Butler University is at, and it's in Indianapolis. And so I was like, well, there's that too. Like, he does have that connection with the school there. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, and then all of a sudden he's going to Charlotte. I was like, I'm down with that too.
Which it was kind of surprising because there was a lot of reports saying Indiana or even the Hawks were trying to sign him. And so once the Charlotte news came out, I was a little confused, but a report came out that said actually Michael Jordan, they were offering Hayward stuff. And then Michael Jordan actually gave him a call and be like, hey, come on, I want you on this team. Like, let's sign, please. And if Michael Jordan gave me a call, you might just sign. And apparently, it's actually the Hornets have been looking at Hayward since like 2014. Michael Jordan and the Hornets offered him a contract in 2014 when he was a restricted free agent. The Jazz matched it, so he didn't come. But yeah, apparently they've been wanting him for a while.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, when Michael Jordan wants you, it's a nice feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Fred VanVleet, who I actually thought was probably going to be a Knick this year, is staying in Toronto or Tampa, I guess. that's the other news we should mention is the Canadian government is not allowing them to play in Canada, the Raptors. So they were looking for a city to play in, and it's actually going to be Tampa Bay, which is pretty interesting.
But, yeah, pretty sad for Louisville area. But also,
that's right.
Not only is it because of the Canadian government with that, like, restricting something, it also has to do with the fact that if they're traveling across the border and then traveling back, they're required to quarantine for 2 weeks, and that just messes up so much with scheduling. So, like, that's why they were looking for a new home.
Exactly. A little thing to mention on his contract, actually, which is pretty interesting. The second year. So how contracts usually work in the NBA is they're percentage based. Like they get more every year they go, right? So it's not like $35 million a year. It's like first year you get $30 million, second year you get $33 million, you know. So yeah, it adds up. The interesting thing about his contract structure is that the second year, his contract actually goes down 8%, but then it fixes itself, goes back to normal in this third and fourth year to where it usually is. And that's because it's to try to give them more flexibility, the Raptors, you know, in free agency. And I think they're trying to save room for maybe a Giannis run. Who knows?
Maybe. That's interesting, though. That's really interesting.
So I just thought that was interesting. I haven't really heard that before, where the second year it goes down 8% and then it goes back up. It was a weird one. But yeah, they're trying to save money that way. Pretty cool. Rajon Rondo is going to the Hawks, which, let's bring this up real quick, is pretty. I like to pick up for them. Pretty interesting that way. Nice backup point guard. But the Hawks, I feel like, are quietly making a pretty nice roster. Let's see. Obviously, they got Trae Young. They just picked up Rajon Rondo. They got Kevin Herter and Cam Reddish as their shooting guards. They signed Danilo Gallinari, who I feel like a lot of people are like, why? Why would they do that? He's actually a pretty good player. Nice pickup. Like,
when you have to say he's actually a pretty good player, he's not that good of a player.
He's actually, I feel like he's pretty good player. Like last year on the OKC, he was their second or third. I want to say second most points per game.
Yeah, like
he can get his shot off. He's a nice 3-4 kind of small ball guy. I really like to pick up for them.
no, I was just kidding. No, Danilo Gallinari, he's actually been a kind of a sneaky good player for a while.
Yeah.
Just not talked about a lot, but it's also because he's had his struggles, I feel like, throughout his career, where like he'll be hot one minute and then like the next year he's just absolute garbage.
He's also got he's had a bit of a injury history early and mid to his career. Lately he's been little bit better. They still have John Collins, which is really nice. They just picked up that one guy in the draft. I forget his name. Well, it says it right here, but I'm not even going to try it, to be honest. He's a nice player. And I feel like I forgot about this. I feel like a lot of people forgot. They traded for Clint Capella. They have Clint Capella. I love Clint Capella.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's a great rim runner. Defense, he's great. I think he's going to fit in really well with that team. They have a pretty good roster. And in the East, where it doesn't take a lot, are they going to be working for that eighth spot? We'll see.
Yeah, we will. I don't know. I mean, because then at the same time, I just think about the Hawks. I'm like, man, are the Hawks just going to hawk it up again? I mean, they that's kind of their MO. Like they've had some decent talent on their teams, and then just like nothing happens. So I don't know. I'm interested to see, though, too, because it seems like they have a lot more parts this time, though, where before it's like they have like one or two star players that seem like can carry them a little bit, but they don't have quite enough to really do anything. But now, like you're saying, like it's a much more well-rounded roster where I'm excited to see it.
And I like the direction they're going. They're so young. They were in a lot of games. They had a really good offense last year. They scored a lot of points. Their defense was trash. So the Clint Capella, the Rajon Rondo, like that should be helping them more. And the young players growing up, developing. I like what they're building. I think next year they could probably make a run for the eighth seed just based off these little pickups. And then hopefully in the next few years, they actually start becoming like really good. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. The Nets re-signed Joe Harris. Love the pickup. He's great. They need shooting. Yeah, keep going, guys. Wes Matthews signed to the Lakers as a replacement, because like I said, they traded Danny Green to the 76ers. So to replace Danny Green with Wes Matthews, I actually kind of last year, I don't know, I might take Wes Matthews over Danny Green. Like Danny Green used to be like an automatic from 3-point, you know, but lately he's kind of been not as good. And so with that, I would think Wes Matthews, I feel like he's a little bit better defensively. They're around the same age. He's still a good 3-point shooter. So pretty good replacement for Danny Green, I think.
Yeah, it's a good pickup for them, for sure.
Mm-hmm. This one hurts dearly, but John Wall actually has requested a trade from the Wizards, apparently. John. First of all, I hope this is just the timing of the reports, but if John just requested a trade, what are you doing, man? You should have been requesting one like weeks ago. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Just for our sake, just for the Wizards' sake. Come on, man. But it sucks because he's been out for 2 years. And the Wizards have made it clear that they're, hey, we want to try it again, right? They're not trading. They've made it clear they're not trying to trade Bradley Beal. They're trying to wait till John Wall comes back, see what they could do. And I was excited. I was excited. I think John Wall was going to return to somewhat form. You know, I don't think he was going to be as good, but him, John Wall, or Bradley Beal, they just re-signed Davis Bertans, which I have more on him in a second. I was excited for this year, actually. And then now we request a trade. I'm like, that sucks because we're not going to get a lot for him. And it's going to be hard to move a contract. Honestly, to move that kind of contract, we might have to give up a little more for someone to take that contract.
Right.
So it's just bad timing, I feel like. I get it. But it's just bad timing.
as a DC sports fan, I get it.
I understand. But it's like, because we've already committed to this year, I feel like they've already committed. You know, if John Wall told us that earlier, maybe they could have blown it up and try to trade Bradley Beal, trade John Wall, try to get more stuff out of it. But
yeah.
Sure. But the Davis Bertans, I was excited until the John Wall news that they re-signed him. It's a big and long contract. Interesting, but
That doesn't sound like the Wizards. That's weird.
Connor, it's not too much, but Connor, when I texted this in the group chat, you said what? Now, was that just a joke, or do you actually not really know who this guy is? Because I got some stats on him. You ready for this?
Yeah, I don't know who he is. I'll be honest.
He played with the Spurs for a while, and then this was his first year at DC. And he's a 6'10" power forward. Pretty decent all around, but his specialty is 3-point shooting. Okay, he was number 6 overall in 3-point percentage this year. That being said, out of those top six players, he had the second most attempts and makes. So he was shooting 42% from three, and with the second most makes out of those top six. I say that because George Hill is number 1 at 46%, but he has the least amount of attempts.
Right. Yeah, it's not a good enough sample size.
Yeah. So he's a really good shooter. He does a little bit of everything, but he's really, really good shooter. So I was excited for him. Like, again, for John Wall to come back and start, you know, driving and kicking it to Bertans all day. Now that's not going to happen, but I like the
pick. Well, I don't know. We'll see. If they can't get anything for him, then John Wall's
just maybe he'll just have to. That's true. Maybe he'll just have to.
You're forced to play for us and do well, so sucks.
Also, basketball.
Although, I don't know. I feel like team chemistry wise though, that kind of sucks to hear that he's been like, he's requesting a trade and then it's like, oh, but here I am, I'm playing with you guys now.
for sure. One more thing about Bertans is he's from Latvia, and Basketball Reference always lists their nicknames, and his listed nickname is the Latvian Laser.
So it's just
for you nickname guys out there.
Locking laser.
Laser.
Dude, some of these nicknames, who comes up with them? It's ridiculous.
I know, it's weird. I think that's covered most of what we wanted to cover. There's a lot more happening, but I think that's covering most of the free agency, I mean.
So
let's move along. So we talked about last episode some of the jerseys coming out for the City Edition and everything. Recently, so I think this actually just happened a few days ago, the Celtics released their jerseys, and I just want to say how terrible they are.
Yeah, they're pretty garbage.
They look like, so the idea is they're supposed to like look like the banners in their rafters, you know, their championship banners.
Yeah.
And I told Connor this in our chat. I was like, dude, I didn't think they could get more boring. Like, the Celtics jerseys, I feel like, are pretty boring. They're pretty bland, usually. But these are even worse. They're just, like, straight white, like, block text, and then greens down the side. It's so...
Yeah, it also felt like they were trying to go for, like, an old-school kind of vintage look and completely missed the mark. Like, just completely missed it.
It's bad. And to be honest, I usually don't like the Celtics jerseys. Like, they're alternate jerseys at all. Usually, like, the gray ones they wear are a little weird.
Bro, that's what I was about to say. Is, like, they had those gray jerseys. And these are, I would say, even worse. Like,
yeah. At least the gray jerseys try to do something. Like, this one just looks, like, even more generic than their normal jerseys.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I actually just pulled up the link we were looking at last time with like kind of keeping you up to date on all the different jerseys. There's some other new ones out too, mm-hmm. like Detroit just put theirs out with the Motor City and
yeah, Detroit's like in a circle. Okay.
I actually like Detroit's. Mm-hmm. I typically don't like the Pistons.
They're better than their last Motor City jerseys, which are really bad.
That's like true. And then I also saw Oklahoma put theirs out, and they're pretty decent. I don't mind theirs.
Yeah. Did you see the Nuggets?
I mean, they're kind of simple, but.
Did you see the Nuggets jerseys?
I don't think so.
Dude, it's actually really cool. So. It's kind of like their last year's jerseys, which were blue, but they kind of had the fading like skyline in their colors.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that? But now it's like those lines are the same, but they're white, and then it's an all red jersey, like a crimson red.
Oh,
look it up real quick.
Okay.
I'll talk about the. So we mentioned last episode about the Spurs jersey. I like them a little generic, but they actually are coming out with. They released the court that it's going to be associated with. Did you saw the court, right? I sent it, didn't I?
Yes.
I love it. Holy cow. That is so nostalgic. The court looks so cool.
Yeah. No, it's the court looks amazing.
It's like that old school sports or Spurs look on the outside, like all black. And then, you know, just a nice dude, it's cool. Did you find the Nuggets jerseys?
I did. They're pretty cool, actually. I don't mind them.
I think the initial reaction is like, huh? Because it's like not their normal color, but I think it's kind of like the Jazz jerseys.
That's what I was going to say. It reminds me a lot of the Jazz ones.
When they came out with the orange one, it was kind of like high at first, but they grew on me. I liked them.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So I think this Nuggets kind of be, they might be similar.
Yeah. And I like that the Nuggets didn't just like straight copy the Jazz. Obviously. I like the fact that they've got obviously the Rockies in the back. They've got the skyline and like kind of the sunset or whatever. But I don't know. I like the kind of like the grid thing they're doing, like with the buildings and all that. Like it's I'm here for it.
It's a cool one. I like it. Like I said, a little weird seeing a red Nuggets jersey, but
yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah, Connor, do you have anything else to mention about basketball before we move on? There's a lot to talk about this
week. Dude, I'm just excited for the season that's starting. Hey, a month from today. A month from today, it's starting.
That's true. Let's go.
That's crazy.
And in like 2 weeks, I think preseason starts, which is pretty cool.
It's just kind of crazy that it's happening so quickly back to back. But obviously,
I love it.
Kind of got into that before.
Yeah,
I'm here for it. Ready for it.
All right, let's try to get in some more sports, not NBA. moving on to the NFL. Let's make our Monday night picks, Connor, right freaking now before we forget.
Let's do it. Let's
always do that. Always
forget.
So Monday night's game is the Rams versus the Bucks. Pretty good matchup, I think, is going to happen. The Bucks are favored at 3.5. So who do you have?
Wait, okay, sorry. So it's Rams versus Bucks. Mm-hmm. Bucks are favored at 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to pick the Bucks on this one.
Okay, the Bucks. Let's see. Now, the Rams have been in a lot of games lately. So I'm trying to talk myself through it, okay? The Rams have been in a lot of games lately. They've kind of mucked it up a lot, too. Like, they're nothing – they haven't really had, like, a really great game in the last few weeks. But they kind of – who's it? Seattle, I think. They lost, but it wasn't, like, a blowout or anything. It was
kind of a –
I think they might give them some problems. Now, 3.5 is small.
It's very tight.
But I think who is the home team? If it's Rams, I might go with the Rams.
Dude, there's no such thing as home field advantage with COVID. Give it up.
Let's see. Oh, no. Buccaneers are the home team. You know what? I'm just going to go Rams anyways. I think they can cover. I think they'll lose by 3 points.
All right. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
We will see. And Andrew did like to mention before we started that he is closing the gap on these Monday Night Football picks.
Yeah.
But only one loss that's behind. Also because I had such a buffer that I was like, you know what? I'll just put some troll picks in there. Like the Bears. Why did I pick the Bears? Because I could. You know, I can give that loss up.
Whatever, dude. So we love stats on the show. I saw a stat about the Bills earlier in this week that I wanted to bring up. So think about this, Connor. The Bills haven't won the AFC East since 1995, right?
Uh-huh.
For reference, the Colts, who haven't played in the AFC East since 2001, have won it more recently. They won it in 1999, which is it's pretty funny, funny little stat there.
So what you're telling me is that Josh Allen literally is the savior of Buffalo.
He's the savior. And also, I just want to say the Colts are a better AFC East team.
So far.
Yeah.
Technically,
history shows.
History has shown. Historically, the Colts are a better AFC East.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Some
interesting news coming out of Saints camp. So you probably saw the Drew Brees hit, right?
Yep.
He landed on his ribs. I think he has bruised ribs, and it collapsed a lung, I believe.
Not just that. It actually came out. I think it came out like yesterday or something. I saw he had like 11 slight fractures in his ribs or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if it was 11, but it was. I thought I saw a number, but yeah, apparently his ribs actually were slightly fractured, not just like bruised or whatever. But yeah, and then he like got like it like collapsed his lung a little bit too.
Horrible. I've had bruised ribs before. That's one of the worst injuries I've experienced, and I broke my arm one time. So like the bruised ribs, man, they suck. It just hurts to breathe, to do anything, right? So I feel for you. But interesting, like it was kind of a topic on the internet all week. Who are they gonna play? Who are the Saints gonna start? Are they gonna start Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill? Came out, I think, yesterday. They decided to go with Taysom Hill. They're actually playing right now as we speak against the Falcons. But here's an interesting question, Connor. Can Taysom Hill be more than just a Swiss Army knife? Like, can he be the starter for the Saints maybe after Drew Brees is gone? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's honestly a great question, because now I've always liked Taysom Hill. I think he's just like a fun guy on the field. It seems like, you know, they all really like him, and he brings a good energy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like he's a Swiss Army knife. Like he's thrown touchdowns, he's caught touchdowns, he's run in touchdowns. Like he can do whatever he wants. He
plays special teams still.
Yeah, exactly. What? Like he just does whatever he wants. But in terms of like, is he like their next franchise quarterback? No. Now, why did he get the start over Winston? I'm honestly not sure, because like we saw from last season, Winston, even with his like eye problems and horrible interception rate and all the memes and everything, like he still had one of the highest. What didn't he have like the most touchdowns in the league too, or something like that?
He had the most yards, 5,000 yards, and maybe around the most touchdowns. He had 31 touchdowns,
something like that. Something like that.
But okay, he also had 31 interceptions.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying, is like he's kind of a proven quarterback, like just quarterback.
Yeah.
Like next to Taysom Hill, who like I know the Saints love him and he's a decent quarterback, but like I don't know. It was kind of a weird decision in my opinion. But hey, I'm not Sean Payton. Sean Payton can do whatever he wants. So,
well, here's the thing to think about. So, they actually signed Taysom Hill to a 2-year, I want to say $17 million guarantee, $20 million if he hits all of his incentives. I think that makes him the second or third biggest, highest paid backup, right?
Okay.
So they pay him a lot of money. The rumors are kind of saying like Sean Payton really likes him. He kind of feels like he might be the next quarterback after Drew Brees, right?
Uh-huh.
So because of that, I feel like they brought in Jameis, which is a good idea, you know, because Taysom Hill does a lot. Drew Brees gets injured, you know.
Right.
But they only pay Jameis like $1 million, I think it is, $2 million, something like that, and a one-year deal. Like, they're kind of trying him out, I feel like. So Taysom Hill, I think this is kind of – they want to see. Like, at this point, they're like, okay, they kind of want to try him out. Is this going to be our future quarterback? I feel like is what they're doing.
That's fair. Yeah, and that's because fair.
It's like, yeah, I agree. I think Winston gives them a little bit better of a chance to win. He's a little more proven. Also, his deep ball is pretty good. Like, his decision making, questionable. His deep ball is pretty good. Like, he can throw bombs, you know? So maybe that would open up their offense a little more. But like I said, I think they're finally actually really trying out to see, oh, is this guy going to be our real starter, or is he going to stay a Swiss Army knife? I don't know. Because the other reports coming out is that Taysom wants to be a starting quarterback, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense, especially when you bring in like his contract into it. You know, it's like, okay, if you're investing in me this much, then how come you're not letting me prove myself? So that makes a lot of sense.
Right. So yeah, just something to think about in the Taysom Hill situation. But it's interesting. I can't wait to see the highlights, because I'm very interested. I, like you said, I'm a little bit of a Taysom Hill fan. Really like what they do with him. But yeah, I want to see if he's going to be their next quarterback. We'll see. Speaking of other quarterbacks though, Justin Herbert just got a haircut and it's terrible? Question mark.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Well, I mean, it's not a bad haircut. Like, he just buzzed off all his hair, but like, you know, he had like the flowing, like kind of like long hair or whatever, a little bit. Kind of like, you know, one of those e-boys or whatever you want to call it. Was like with like the part down the middle, he just kind of like throws it back or whatever. But he like buzzed it all off, and now he looks like a 13-year-old boy out there. Like, it's
bad. He looks like a doesn't he look like a little bit like the bully in Toy Story?
A little bit, yeah.
a little bit.
Because he's kind of got like that underbite too.
Yeah. Like, he looks like a kid that would bully you.
He does. It's true. Like, before, he was like, he looked like a simp before. He'd be like, oh, I'll stand up for women's rights no matter what. Now he's like, hey, you got that lunch money or what?
Yeah, he was a white knight before.
I don't know. White knight, exactly. I don't know. I just, when I saw that, I was like, yo, let's rate Justin Herbert's new haircut. Haircut, 5.32 out of 10. Wow. But like the effect on his looks afterwards, 2.15 out of 10.
Now, here's the thing. If they start winning, because the Chargers, I think this was, what was the stat? I saw the stat come up that the only people to lose by 1 point this season. Or no, I forget the stat. I'm sorry. But they were in the same conversation. It was the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Chiefs that were all in the conversation. It's like the Chiefs were the outlier, but just because they've had so many close games. And my point was, okay, so because they've had so many close games and stuff, if they start winning now, do you think it's because of the haircut?
No, I don't. I don't think the hair is the secret to
It's out of his face now. He doesn't even need it.
It was out of his face before. That's what a helmet's for. It keeps it out of your face.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
he's a good like quarterback. I think he actually looks good on the field. He just needs more time to develop. But
they need a little bit of a better team. A few more pieces.
But bro, like this haircut was not the move. Like, we've seen some bad haircuts on Tom Brady, but this haircut was not the move for Justin Herbert.
I think you hit it right. It's the haircut is fine. The effect that it portrays now is weird. It's not great.
Exactly.
Moving right along to my favorite and least favorite team at the same time, the Washington Football Team. the team president, Jason Wright, who actually I'm learning a lot more about. I actually really like him. He seems like an interesting guy. He came out and said that the name Football Team is actually in the running as the permanent team name. I sent this to Connor in the middle of the week, and I said to him, if they keep the Washington Football Team name, I might have to jump ship. And that hurts, because why wouldn't I have jump shipped years ago? Like, I had so much opportunity.
You had ample opportunity. You had ample opportunity to jump ship.
If this is the straw that breaks the camel back, like, I'm going to be embarrassed, because there is so much more opportunity to jump ship. I should have jump shipped a long time ago. But if they keep the name Football Team, I'm going to be so mad. Listen, I knew they were going to disappoint me with the new name. That's just going to what's going to happen, right? They're going to pick a new name. I was going to get disappointed. I was going to get over it, and then I was going to love it just because it's my team, right? But if it's the football, I just can't. I just can't, man. I can't root for some of these the football team. It just doesn't
work. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like you're like a kid whose parents just like got a divorce, and you're like, okay, dad's disappointed me like over and over again, and then he starts dating some chick that you just like absolutely hate, and he's like, no man, it's just like a temporary thing, like don't even worry about it, it's really not even going anywhere, and you're like, okay dad, I'm trusting you this one time, and then he marries her, then he goes and gets married that to
bitch.
Her the football team.
The football team, dude. She always forgets to pick me up from practice. She's
just on her phone the whole time. She doesn't even talk to me.
No, it's exactly like that, I think. I hate it. I really hope. It's like the lowest effort, I feel like, is to name them the football team.
Oh, it totally is. So, like, fun fact, because this happened this season, when my brother was naming his fantasy team, he just called it the Ryan football team because he thought it was so funny. He's like, this is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard, but I'm naming my team this now because, hey, it works apparently.
They sell. I think, what was it? The one theory that has come out from the Redskins Reddit page is that they think they're trying to give more validity to the potential of that name staying longer because they're trying to sell more football team merch. And so like if they're reassuring people, if you buy it now, you might like, it's not going to be outdated next year. That's one of the theories coming out.
That's dumb. If anything, okay, no, that I can't buy into that theory, actually. Here's the thing. If anything, they should change the name because then it's limited edition. No, you're never going to have Washington football team merch ever again. So now you have a collector's item.
Right. I agree.
So I think that's dumb if that is the reason that they're like even talking about it like this. Because you're stupid. That's not how things work.
Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Dad.
I'm just saying, if it's only 1 year, only 1 year you can get this merch, then freaking it's a collector's item now, you idiot. Golly.
Grinds my gears.
Speaking of idiots, can we get into this next quote? You brought this up. I know Brent sent this in. Our producer Brent sent this in specifically. Shout out Brent, our greatest producer in the world, sent in this specific quote, but I want you to introduce it.
Yeah, so it came out from Drew Lock that he said, half the time as the ball leaves my hand, I think, or I'm like, oh no. This is an NFL starting quarterback, by the way, people. Half the time. It's not sometimes, it's half the time thinks, oh no. Whose man's is this?
You cannot make this up.
I also love it because I actually like Drew Lock. Like, I kind of like his like style and everything. And it just seems like he just doesn't give a shit. Like, he can go throw in three interceptions
clearly,
one game.
Clearly, he doesn't. Yeah,
he throws three interceptions one game, and then the next game he like has a comeback, like three touchdown, like almost win, and throws 300 yards. It's like, but I guess that's the mindset you need to have when you're throwing oh no's all the time.
Bro, there's like this is two opposite ends of the spectrum. You have like the one spectrum of like Kobe Bryant, who's like Mamba mentality, stay locked in, stay focused, don't put up with like the bullshit, like all this stuff. And then you have Drew Lock, who's like, yeah, half the time I'm just like, oh no. Like, what are you talking about? You're a starting quarterback. That's what I think half the time when I'm playing football.
Yeah, when I play Madden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when I'm playing Madden. If I'm playing like a, like Turkey Bowl football, that's what I think.
I got my uncle
like, hey, Connor,
coming.
Hey, Connor, why don't you play quarterback? Like, okay. Half the time I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no. I shouldn't have thrown that.
Like this. Did this come from my uncle? Like, whose quote is this?
Yeah.
What? Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
Like, what's funny is like half of me is infuriated by this quote, and half of me is just dying. Like,
I kind of respect the honesty.
I do respect the honesty. I'll give him that.
I kind of like the honesty. It's really funny.
I mean, honestly, this quote could work for so many other people. Like, Baker Mayfield probably should have said this. Winston should have said this last year. Matt Stafford at this point should probably say this.
I feel like someone like Baker, he definitely. He
has an ego. Yes, you're right.
Well, no, his ego is so big that he can't fathom that it's a bad pass until it's like intercepted, you know? So like even when it leaves his hand.
Even then it's not his fault. Even then it's not his fault. It's the receiver's fault, right?
right.
No, even then it's like you didn't run the route right, or you were supposed to cut out, not in.
Yeah. Yeah, so like if someone like Baker, you never think that.
Yeah, that's true. And hey, honestly, I mean, to even to give Baker a little bit of credit, like sometimes you have to have that mentality when you're in this position. So yeah, I mean, for Drew Lock to just kind of be like, yeah, I can admit my own faults, like what are you gonna do?
It's crazy.
I'm just your average Joe quarterback. What do you want?
He could have phrased it so much better though. Like so like you've seen Archer, right? You watch Archer?
Yeah, I'm actually rewatching Archer right now.
Yeah, yeah. Phrasing, like
phrasing. No, it's so true.
Lightened it a little bit.
I do love that he just paints that picture too of like where it's just it's that point of no return, and he's just like, oh no.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what we need?
It's like record scratch. I'm sure you're wondering how I got here.
I was just thinking of the more recent meme going around right now. That's just like the song. It's like, oh no. Oh no! Oh no! 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 Like apparently like, half the that time, that's what's going through Drew Lock's brain when he releases the ball.
He's got that song going on. I love it.
Oh geez. Well, hey, speaking of regrets, I wanted to bring this up because as we were kind of prepping for things, I was watching the Lions Panthers game, you know, as I do. Love the Panthers, and I saw Matt Patricia over on the sidelines for the Lions since he became their head coach like what, 3 years ago, 2-3 years ago? I can't remember how long.
I think it's been three
now. But I wonder, does Matt Patricia regret leaving the Patriots at this point?
I think that's an interesting question because it might just like come down to semantics, I guess. Like, does he looking back now wish he was still on the Patriots? Probably. But obviously, like, a head coach opportunity is like what you want. Like, you want to get into it. He just had an unfortunate. I do feel for him a little bit. Like, I know it's the Lions. You did pick the Lions, so maybe it's kind of your fault. But he was coming into it. They had a lot of injuries throughout the years. They had a lot of things go wrong that maybe not totally out of his hands, but sometimes it was a little bit out of his hands. Now, again, I'm not saying that's the whole thing. Like, definitely, he's responsible. He's the head coach. So the team has not been great. So definitely a lot of that is on him. But I think some of the stuff, like, it was a little unfortunate. But again, I said, you picked the Lions, so maybe it is your fault.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't know. Just looking back at it, I wonder if he does kind of regret jumping on this opportunity so quickly, because I think it was just, like you said, it's a head coaching job. He was a defensive coordinator, and he went, oh, I have the opportunity to be a head coach. Well, that's what you always want. Yeah. You want to be the captain of the ship, so... He jumped on it, but like you jumped on the Lions. Mm-hmm. You jumped on kind of like a live grenade. So.
Well, and you look at the opposite, someone, you know, coming from even a Bill Belichick system, going to a different team, the Brian Flores from the Miami Dolphins. I mean, he jumped on that opportunity and now it's starting to work great for him. Didn't look good in the first year. So I think some of it's definitely coaching. Some of it's kind of where the chips fall. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. But well, I just wanted to bring that up because I saw him on the sideline. He just looked a little sad.
He looked a little sad.
I mean, he kind of always looked like that. He looked a little more angry on the Patriots, but now he looks a little sad. So
yeah.
Exactly. I think I don't know. Lastly, but not leastly, we have that MLB is set its opening day for April 1st officially, and it's a quadruple header, which when I read that is confusing because in baseball, when you talk about a double header, it means the same two teams are playing each other back to back, like seven inning games. Just there's like a break in between. So when I saw quadruple header, I was like, that's not what that means. But there's supposed to be four games scheduled. I put up eight fingers on the video for some reason. There's four games being played on April 1st for opening day. So that's pretty exciting. And you kind of mentioned this, that everyone's just trying to get back to like some kind of normal schedule, because that's typically around the time that they schedule opening day, like March 30th, April 1st, kind of that area.
Because they're going to, I mean, we're talking about NBA having a short schedule. I mean, when did – or no, MLB ended around the normal
time, right? So MLB ended around the normal time. It's because
– so they'll have a normal-ish offseason.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So they'll have a normal offseason. It was just – it was weird for them because it was like a cut-in-half season. Right. But, yeah, where, like, spring training still probably going to start around the same time this year. And spring training will still start around the same time. And then the season will start around the same time, and the minor league season is probably going to happen this year from what I've seen. But it'll be interesting to see kind of like how COVID still impacts like what they do, though.
Yeah, and I actually doing a little prep for this. I looked up the NHL when they were trying to start, and they I saw an article from a few weeks ago, so maybe they've already decided, but they were trying to target January 1st. So kind of around the same schedule as the NBA, which is normal. But I didn't see on that article again. Maybe they've already decided, but I wonder if they'll have a shortened season, or are they going to try to play all 82 games like the NBA? Yeah. Again, they have very similar schedules usually. They play the same amount of games, so usually – so are they going to shorten the schedule? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Not sure.
But just wanted to mention NHL. We usually don't talk about it, but when the season comes up, man, we're going to be the Kraken Podcast, so you guys watch out.
Officially changing the name, just the Kraken Podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, to listening to this episode. We appreciate you greatly. Just want to mention real quick a little quirk that's happening with our scheduling and everything with Thanksgiving happening. We're actually – next week's episode, we're going to record that like just right now. But the next episode is going to be more like entertainment focused, more movies and stuff. Not a lot of sports because we're recording it today again. I just wanted to mention that, but check it out in a week. But again, thanks for watching. You can follow me at the Thrill Can Kill 5. Go follow the Two Tight Ends socials. Again, it's all at the number 2 Tight Ends. On Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a YouTube page, so go check all that shit out. Connor, where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram at Moco, MOCO.CUDE. Best place, though, is definitely the Two Tight Ends account that we have. So
yeah,
be sure to follow there.
Connor, what did we learn today?
Neil, if there's anything we've learned today, it's that if a starting NFL quarterback 50% of the time thinks, oh no, then you know what? You can do it. Shoot your shot. Take that chance. Because guess what? 50% of the time, it's going to be an oh yes.
50% of the time, it works every time.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Have a good week. See ya.
See ya.